We'll take our lesson this morning from the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Had a reading from that text a few moments ago. We want to read it again for the sake of emphasizing the text and what is actually being taught in the text. In James 1 and in verse 22, reading in the New King James Version, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, and this one will be blessed in what he does." Mirrors in ancient times, and when this book was written, we might refer to it as an ancient time. Mirrors during this particular period of time were nothing more than polished metal, sometimes brass or bronze, polished to a very high degree, and one could see the reflection in it. Actually, the modern mirrors that we have are kind of a modern invention. Actually, a German chemist by the name of Justus von Liebig brought us the modern-day mirror in 1835. Now, that's a modern invention, isn't it? 1835. You would think mirrors would have been around a lot longer than that. Well, they were, but not the kind that we have today. And since that time, man has developed the mirror to explore space, to explore inside the body. But God has a mirror that explores man's soul. And that's the mirror we're reading about in our text this morning. The mention of a mirror in our text in regard to one being a doer of the word presents to us the idea that God's mirror is the standard by which we should conduct ourselves, behave ourselves. It is the standard that we look in that gives us a reflection of our true self. And when we see ourself in God's mirror, the mirror of the soul, He expects us to make corrections that are needed in our life. And the Word is that mirror of the soul. I want to study about that this morning. The fundamental purpose of a mirror, of course, is to reveal, to give a true reflection. Most of us spend some time in front of mirrors today. As I was looking up the date of our modern day mirrors, I learned that the Romans thought that if a woman spent too much time in front of a mirror, they questioned her character. I wonder where they got that idea. I wonder if they thought perhaps of God's mirror. As we spend time in front of God's mirror, perhaps we should question our character at times. But nonetheless, as we look into a mirror, a physical mirror, it gives us a reflection. But the mirror in our text gives us a true reflection of our character before God. Notice the text again, and let's define some terms in case you're not familiar with it. But be doers of the word. The word, of course, under consideration, is the law of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth, the word of God. That's the word under consideration. To be a doer of the word is to be a performer of the word, one who practices the word, one who keeps the word, one who obeys the word. That's the doer of the word. So be doers of the word and not hearers only. What's a hearer only? One who simply listens to the word with no intention of the word changing his life. Many people are hearers of the word only. They sit and listen, sermon after sermon, Bible class after Bible class, with no intention of ever applying the word to their life, making application to the word to their life, having the word as the mirror of the soul to change their life. They're simply hearers of the word. And James tells us that they're deceiving themselves. They're deluding themselves. They're cheating themselves and defrauding themselves. In our English vocabulary, we would say one is a dupe because he's been duped. Not by someone, but by himself. He has duped himself, deceived himself, defrauded himself, because he's a hearer only and not a doer of the word. Then he uses an illustration in our text as a man who would look into a natural or physical mirror of our time. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now think about that. How many of you look into the mirror every morning? I know most of us do. Sometimes, several times a day, we look into the mirror, and we look into it, perhaps with the intention of correcting our appearance. If you don't look into the mirror for that purpose, for why are you looking into the mirror? Because you love your appearance? No, you want to make proper changes to your appearance that you might appear appropriate in society. Around others, you want to appear beautiful. You want to be beautiful. You want to be handsome. There's nothing wrong with that. But as we look into God's mirror, how do we see our soul? Do we see it as something beautiful or something handsome? Something that we would really want others to see? God sees it. We're like a man who looks into the physical mirror, goes away and makes no changes. Looks into the mirror and sees that he needs to shave, sees that he needs to wash his face, washes oily, greasy hair, but he simply goes away and makes no changes. What do you think about a person like that? That's like the man who looks into the Word of God and makes no changes. He is foolish. He has duped himself. James 1 in verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, it's referred to as perfect because it is complete. Nothing needs to be added to it. It is the word in our text under consideration, the perfect law of liberty. It is complete. It is final. Nothing needs to be added to it. It is a law because it comes from the King, our great lawgiver, and it does provide liberty, freedom from our sin. So the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the one who looks into the Word of God, the one who looks into the mirror of the soul and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. He's a performer of the work. What work? The work that the Word requires. He keeps the Word. He obeys the Word. And what does it do to his life? This one will be blessed in what he does. Blessed means that he'll be highly favored in what he does. So as a man looks into the physical mirror, he sees that corrections need to be made, and he makes those corrections. When we look into the mirror of God's Word, the mirror of the soul, sometimes we get a reflection back that it may be ugly. It may be beautiful. I'm just asking this morning, when you look into the mirror of the soul, when you look into God's Word, what reflection do you see back regarding yourself? Do you see changes that need to be made? God's Word, the mirror of the soul, reveals many things. The mirror of the soul reflects your origin when you look into it. Did you know that? It reflects your origin when you look into it. Genesis 1 and verse 26. God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." God is spirit. God created man with an eternal spirit that dwells in this body or tabernacle of flesh. You're created in the image of God. When you look into the mirror of the soul, you see that your origin or source is God. Genesis 2 and in verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He gave us a spirit that resides in our body. We're not like the animal. Animals have soul. They have life that animates the body. Of course, the soul in our text is used synonymously with the spirit. Soul in the scriptures used in different ways. When we talk about animals having soul, we simply talk about them having life. But they don't have spirit. When an animal is dead, he's just dead. His body rots and decays, and it goes back to the dust from which it was made. But when man dies, life leaves his body, and the spirit returns to God. The mirror of the soul, or the mirror of the spirit, is that which we're speaking about this morning. When man looks into the mirror of the soul, into the mirror of the spirit, he sees that his origin and source is from God. He sees that he's not a monkey. He sees that he's not an animal. He sees that God created him in his own image and in his own likeness. Man is created with a free will. We're not like the animals. The animals that live by instinct. You know, the fowls that fly south in the winter, they have no choice in the matter. Every winter, when winter comes, they pick up from where they're at and they fly south to warmer conditions. Now, why do they do that? God created them that way. They have no choice in the matter. That's what they do. But you have a choice. You can stay in the cold climate or you can stay in the warm climate. God created you with a will. You're not like the animal. When you look into the mirror of the soul, you know that. When you look into the mirror of the soul and you have a free will that God created you with, and a spirit that lives eternally, you know that you can make decisions regarding your own destiny in life. You're not like an animal. You can determine your destiny. You can determine what you do today and what you do tomorrow. Animals simply live by instinct. But when you look into God's mirror, God's Word, the mirror of the soul, God's mirror reveals as well your doings in this life. That is, it reveals what you do. Romans 3 and in verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When you look into the mirror of the soul, you recognize and realize that you've sinned. You've transgressed God's law. He declares you to be a sinner and a violator of His will. So when you look into the mirror of the soul, you see yourself as God sees you. God says all have sinned. That includes every one of us. And fallen short of the glory of God. Here's some sins that some people engage in. Galatians 5 and verse 19, works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Lewdness is lasciviousness. It's unrestrained moral behavior. That's what lewdness or lasciviousness is. Unrestrained, unbridled. That is, if it feels good, do it. You remember that phrase from years ago? It's still around today. It's lewdness, lasciviousness. Unrestrained in any way. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, outburst of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries and the like. Revelries, drinking parties. Lots of food and lots of drink. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now some of us may be guilty of some of these sins. Some of us may be guilty of these sins in times past before we became children of God. But this is how God sees us when we look into the mirror of the soul. He sees us sometimes as sinners, if we're sinners, and engaging in such conduct and behavior. That's how He sees us. And that has to be a dark reflection when you know that to be true. God's mirror also reveals our need. Romans 5 and in verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were righteous. Not while we were just in His sight. Not while we were without sin. But while we were sinners, while we were guilty in His sight, Christ died for us. Having now been justified by His blood, that is, through His death on the cross, we shall be saved from wrath or His anger through Him. What is our need? Our need is to be justified in the sight of God, pronounced righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ died for us. As sinners, when we look into the perfect law of liberty, when we look into the Word of God, the mirror of the soul, if we see ourselves as sinners, we also should see that we need to be pronounced righteous in the sight of God. We need the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. We need God's power to bring about our salvation, which Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16 is the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. What is the gospel of Christ? It's the Word in James 1 and verse 22. It's the perfect law of liberty. It is God's means to bring about your salvation. Christ saves you by His blood. He gives you the gospel. He gives you the Word. He gives you the mirror, the soul, to look into and see the changes that need to be brought to your life. The gospel is that mirror. It is God's power to bring about your eternal salvation. There is no other power that God will exert in your life to bring about your eternal salvation. He's not going to speak to you in a small, still voice. He's not going to send an angel to talk to you or to bring about your salvation. He treats all men exactly the same in regard to their salvation. He gave them the gospel. And every man who is obedient to the gospel, who looks into the perfect law of liberty, who looks into the mirror of his soul and sees change that needs to be made, if he makes that in his life, it will bring about his eternal salvation. And then we'll face God in the day of judgment in a right and proper relationship. Philippians 2 and in verse 14, Paul said, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God." Blameless, that is, without blame. Innocent. Innocent in the sight of God. Not guilty. And harmless. Pure. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's how God wants us to be. And when we look into the mirror of the soul and make changes according to the gospel teaching, we can be that come the day of judgment and stand before Him in a right relationship. Because God's mirror also reveals to us our destiny. That is, when we look into the perfect law of liberty, when we look into the mirror of the soul, when we look into God's Word, when we look into the gospel, we know what our destiny already is. We know where we're destined to be come the day of judgment. John 5 and in verse 28. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear His voice. And come forth, those who've done good to the resurrection of life, those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." You see, the mirror of the soul already tells us where we're destined for. I'm persuaded that everyone here present this morning knows of which group they will be in. Why am I persuaded? Because the Word of God, the mirror that we're looking in, already has told us our destiny. Some will come forth, those who've done good, to the resurrection of life. You'll be resurrected from the dead to spend eternal life in heaven with God forever and ever. But some who are going to be resurrected from the dead, those who've done evil, are going to be resurrected to condemnation or damnation. Eternal damnation or condemnation. Eternal punishment at a place called hell. I'm persuaded that everyone here this morning knows of which group or where they will be, because our eternal destiny has been determined by the mirror that we look into this morning. We can see where we're going to end up. If we continue on the road that we're on, engaging in the works of the flesh we read about a few moments ago in Galatians 5 and in verse 19, if we continue on that road, we know where we're headed. Now, we're not like an animal. We have a will. God created us with free will. Since we know where we're headed, if we're headed in the wrong direction, we can look into the mirror of God's Word, we can look into the mirror of our soul, and we can change our direction. Don't deceive yourself. Don't delude yourself. Don't cheat and defraud yourself out of eternal salvation. If you can change direction and you need to change direction, change. Why be lost come the day of judgment when you can choose for yourself to be saved? It boggles my mind that man would say, well, if there was $5 million here, I would choose that compared to, we might say, a clay pot filled with dirt. Which would you choose? $5 million on one hand or a clay pot filled with dirt? Of course you would choose the $5 million. You would choose what's best for you. Why do we choose what's best for us in this life, but in regard to our spiritual well-being, we make foolish choices? We choose eternal condemnation. We choose damnation instead of eternal life. Why make such foolish choices? You deceive yourselves, cheat yourselves, defraud yourselves out of eternal salvation. God's mirror also tells us that it is a time for us to take a good look at ourselves, even if we're children of God. 2 Corinthians 13 in verse 5, Paul said, "Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves." When we look into the mirror of the soul, we need to make a thorough examination. You know, sometimes we walk by a mirror and we just kind of glance in it and go on very quickly. But sometimes we look into the mirror and we look very closely. And we say, well, those dark spots weren't there yesterday. Or those wrinkles weren't there yesterday. We look very closely sometimes. We all need to look very closely, even children of God. Make a close examination. Put ourselves to the test and determine whether we're in the faith or not. Have you ever walked by a mirror, I'm talking about a physical mirror, and looked into it and didn't like what you see, and so you just broke the mirror? Have you ever done that? People just don't do that. They don't look into the mirror and look at themselves and then break the mirror because they don't like what they see. So don't get mad at the mirror. Because you don't get mad at a physical mirror when you see your appearance needs to be changed, you go ahead and make the change. That's what we do. We look into the physical mirror, we notice that change needs to be made, and we make the change. We don't break the mirror. We don't destroy the mirror. Nor do we destroy the one who's holding up the mirror for us sometimes. Someone might hold up a mirror and say, look at yourself. But we don't hurt them or harm them. Nor do we break the mirror. We don't get mad at the mirror. And we don't get mad at the one who holds up a mirror for us to look at our physical appearance. And neither should we get mad at God as he holds up the mirror of our soul as we look into it. Or as someone would hold up the Word of God or present the Word of God and show us a true picture of ourselves. We don't get mad at them, or we should not get mad at them. Of course, the atheist looks into God's Word, the mirror of the soul, and sees that he's a fool. God calls him a fool. Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, what does the atheist do with that? God just called me a fool. He looks into the mirror of God's Word, in the mirror of the soul, and recognizes and realizes that he's a fool. Now, the atheist perhaps may get mad. He might want to destroy the mirror, the Word of God, or the atheist might change. He is a man of free will. He could do that. The alien sinner also could react just as the atheist would. Again, the atheist could get mad and try to destroy the Word of God, try to harm someone that holds up the mirror of God's Word to them that they might see the true reflection. The atheist might do those two things. They're a man of free will. They can do one or the other. And so might the alien sinner when he reads Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Remember, the gospel is God's power to bring about your salvation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes what? He who believes the gospel and is baptized will be saved. That is, when you believe the gospel and respond in obedience to the gospel. Now bring that back to James 1 in verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. What's a doer? A doer is one who's obedient to the word. One who keeps the word. One who observes the word. One who looks into the mirror of the soul and makes changes. And so the alien sinner, one who has never obeyed the gospel, looks into the mirror of the soul and he sees that he needs to believe the gospel and respond in obedience in baptism. That is baptism, being immersed in water for the remission of sins. And so what does the alien sinner do? Well, he can do one of two things because he is created in the image of God and he has free will. He can try to destroy God's word or try to harm the one who holds the Word of God up to him to look into. Or he can change. He can bring his life in harmony with God's Word. That's what God wants us all to do, saint or sinner. He wants us to bring our life in harmony with His Word. He is showing us our true reflection when we look into the Word, and I'm persuaded as some people look into the Word, whether they actually read it for themselves or they actually hear it being preached or taught, I'm persuaded that they see something they don't like. You know, is that not sometimes what we do? If we don't like it, we kind of stay away from it. We steer clear of it. So people don't like the Word because it gives them a reflection of their true character. It shows them how God sees them. And they don't like that. So the alien sinner, he can be like the atheist and just try to destroy the Word. He can even hate and be hostile toward one who holds up the mirror to him. Or he can change his life and bring his life in harmony with the Word. He can believe the gospel message and he can respond to it in obedience and baptism. But if he doesn't, he knows what his eternal destiny is, doesn't he? Because the mirror of the soul has already given that to him. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7 and following, Paul tells us that there's a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, note this, and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Now, just as the atheist might look into the Word of God and react in different ways, and just as the alien sinner might look into the mirror of God, of the soul and react in different ways, so might the Christian look into the mirror and react in different ways regarding many different things. Titus 2 and in verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Remember, the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared, that is, become fully known, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So when the Christian looks into the mirror of the soul and sees that God expects him to live soberly, of course, he's not saying don't be drunk there. Soberly carries with it the ideal of being controlled, self-controlled. And there was ever a generation that needed to exercise some self-control in many different areas of life. We live in a generation that needs to exercise self-control. People simply do not control themselves in many different ways today. They give themselves to lewdness and lasciviousness. No moral restraint whatsoever. But God expects us to live soberly, self-controlled lives. Righteously, that is right, upright, virtuous in His sight. Godly, devout, pious lives. That's how He expects us to live. Now, when Christians look into God's Word, the mirror of the soul, and see that that's how God expects us to live, the Christian can do one of two things as well. He can bring his life in harmony with that, or he can reject it, try to destroy it. Set that Word of God aside. Set that mirror aside. I don't like what I see, so I'm not going to look at it. God expects us to make changes where changes are necessary. Again, let us say, don't get mad at the mirror or at the one who holds up the mirror that we may see. There has to be a proper use of God's Word. The mirror of the soul is important. We've got to use the Word for our spiritual benefit. It's intended for us to bring our life in harmony with it. Again, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving or deluding yourselves. We're going to have to be obedient to the Word. Change our life where change is needed. And we need to use this mirror of the soul frequently and regularly. As we would look in a physical mirror on a regular basis and make changes to our life, we need to look into the mirror of the soul on a regular basis and make changes where necessary. We need to do it regularly and frequently. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man, favored is the man, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I mentioned the women in Rome's day. The Romans thought if a woman looked in a mirror a lot, that she had questionable character. If we look into the Word of God a lot and make the necessary changes that are needed, God won't question our character, because our character and conduct will be in line with His Word. We'll see ourselves as handsome. We'll see ourselves as beautiful in the sight of God, because that's a reflection God is going to give us back in His Word if we will simply do it regularly and frequently. Our delight should be in the law of the Lord, the perfect law of liberty. We should use the Word honestly and fairly. In Acts 17 and in verse 11, these Jews were more fair-minded than those Jews in Thessalonica. What about the Jews in Thessalonica? Well, when Paul during his second evangelistic journey, preached the word in Thessalonica. Remember, the unbelieving Jews rose up against him, and he had to leave the city, flee for his life, because they rejected the word of God. He held up the mirror of the soul. He held up the word of God, and they saw their reflection in it, and they didn't like it. And so they ran him out of town. They got mad at the reflection they saw in the mirror, presented to them by the Apostle Paul. But when he came to Berea, these Jews in Berea were more fair-minded than those Jews in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so or not. And that's what we need to do. We need to receive the word. We need to be eager to receive the word. We need to be eager to see our reflection as God sees us. Let us examine ourselves and let us do it on a daily basis and see the correction that needs to be made in our life. I ask this morning, are you looking into the mirror of the soul? It will give you a reflection of who you truly are, highlighting the changes that need to be made in your life. When looking into the mirror of the soul, what do you see? Do you see saint or sinner? Do you see a child of God or a child of the devil? Do you see one who is consistently and on a habitual basis engaging in the works of the flesh we read about this morning? Or do you see one who's striving with all of his being to live in harmony with God's word? What do you see when you look into God's mirror? If corrections need to be made, are you willing to make them? I want to suggest that you make them before it's too late. You know, there's a day coming which we'll not be able to look into a physical mirror and see our physical appearance anymore. That day is coming for all of us. Well, one day, the day is going to come when we won't be able to look into the mirror of the soul and make changes to our life. That day is coming, and for some, it will be too late. You need to make changes now while you can look into the Word and have the ability to make the change. Don't wait till it's too late, because the time is coming. Look into the Word, the mirror of the soul, this morning. Do you see one who has believed the gospel, who's repented of their sins, confessed their faith in Christ as the Son of God, responded in obedience to that gospel message in baptism, to have their sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ? When you look into the mirror of the soul, have you done that? If you haven't done that, God is giving you a reflection of what you need to do. That's what you need to do to get your life in harmony with His will. So when you look into the mirror of the soul, you see something handsome, something beautiful in the sight of God. You'll see a child of God looking back at you instead of a child of the devil. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.